Our first scripture passage this morning are a few select verses from the prophet Isaiah from chapter 40. Prophet Isaiah says, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Mark 1, verses 1 through 4. Mark begins his gospel this way. He says, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
Mark's gospel begins in medias res. Do you remember that term from high school English classes? No. It means it begins in the middle of the story. Mark's gospel begins in medias res. The beginning of Mark is Jesus' baptism. Jesus shows up as a fully grown adult. He's ready for what we call his public ministry. And so Mark begins with Jesus' baptism, his commissioning, his christening. In the Gospel of Mark, John the Baptist has prepared the way of the Lord. John has done this by calling God's people out to repentance and offering them a service to mark that turning point in their lives. Now that the people have been prepared, now that they have come out to the wilderness, called by John the Baptist, now that they have been called out and turned around, they are looking for someone to lead them in a better way. They are looking for the way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Show us, Lord. Show us how we should go. With our world in shambles, with our world and so many people's lives torn apart by war and fear and conflict, we too, we yearn and we groan for a better way. We yearn and we groan for a better way forward. We are those who seek from God the way of the Lord. We yearn for a way that will lead to peace. Mark's gospel begins in the middle of the story. Matthew's gospel starts in a different beginning. Matthew's narrative starts with Jesus' parents. Mary is engaged to Joseph, then she's found to be with child. An angel visits Joseph, and Joseph takes pregnant Mary as his wife. Jesus, we are told, is born in Bethlehem. Next, in Matthew's carefully crafted story, we hear about the visit of the wise men. How does the way of the Lord unfold in Matthew's gospel? The story that follows in Matthew's gospel, it echoes and mirrors the history of the Jewish scriptures, and the beginning of the gospel echoes and mirrors our current situation as well. The lamentable situation we find in our world with conflict and sorrows in Israel and Gaza. The wise men have seen a star which tells them that a new king has been born in the land of Israel. The star tells them that a new leader, a new king, a new way is opening up in this world. And so the wise men head to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, where kings should live, to seek out and to honor this new king who has been born under such an auspicious sign in the heavens. Of course, things are not at all what the wise men expected. They don't find an infant king in Jerusalem. Instead, they find Herod, the current king, the current head of state. We are told that King Herod, and all of Jerusalem shook with fear because of the wise men's news. King Herod and all of Jerusalem shook with fear that the wise men came saying that a new king had been born. Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, Matthew tells us that Jerusalem shakes with fear because they know the way of kingdoms. They know what it means when two kings compete for the same throne. Kingdom Herod is shaking with fear because he knows that a new king being born means that his hold on power is in jeopardy. Jerusalem knows conflict. It knows division and death and destruction follow when a new king is born. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, the prophet calls. Herod's scholars report that the hometown of King David, Bethlehem should be the place of the birthplace of this promised king, they tell King Herod. And so, to try and prevent himself from losing his power, Herod makes a terrible declaration. In Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem, Herod puts out an order to have every male child, any child who could potentially be this new king who threatens his power, Herod declares that they all should be put to death. And according to the narrative in the Gospel of Matthew, Herod's directive is followed. The story from Matthew chapter 2 is referred to by several names in our Bibles. Some call it the slaughter of the innocents. One of my Bibles calls it the massacre of the infants. Truly, it's an inauspicious beginning to a book, a gospel, which is supposed to be good news. Jesus comes into this world. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, the prophets sing to us. But how does Jesus' way unfold? It begins with fear and death and destruction. The gospel begins with an infant child who must be carried by his parents, fleeing as refugees, escaping by night, abandoning their home in Bethlehem, which is being ransacked and whose children are being destroyed. Matthew tells us that Joseph and Mary, carrying their infant son, flee from Bethlehem, traveling most likely through Gaza in order to escape and shelter as refugees in Egypt. The baby Jesus escapes. Jesus will live. His way will continue to unfold, but Jesus' peers, his contemporaries, the children of Bethlehem, are destroyed. We wonder, for good reason, where is God in the midst of our tragedies? One of my colleagues, a fellow RCA pastor this week, shared a picture from a Christian church in the village of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is currently a village in the territory of the West Bank, controlled by Palestinians. I also had a conversation this week with someone who had visited Israel, and they explained that to visit Bethlehem, you must start in a bus controlled by Israelis, and you can travel on that bus as far as the Israelis control, and then you get off that bus, and you get on another bus controlled by the Palestinians, so that you can make the rest of the journey to Bethlehem. A minister colleague of mine shared a picture from a Christian church, a Palestinian church, in the village of Bethlehem. Our Palestinian brothers and sisters in Christ, like many Christians, they have set up a creche, a manger scene in their Lutheran church. Their minister explained in a recent interview that they are not having Christmas services this year. Their services are canceled. With the conflict in Gaza and so many children and innocents dying, so many crying in their land, so many living in fear, How can we gather to celebrate? Our Lutheran brother in Christ asks. Their creche scene is not a typical manger scene this year. This year, their creche shows the infant Jesus, and he's nearly covered by broken and destroyed debris. Broken concrete surround and enfold the statue of the Christ child. His rosy cheeks, his blue eyes, his golden hair, they are alit and aglow with the flickering light of a single candle, but mostly obscured by the surrounding wreckage. Where is Jesus in our tragedies? At the time of Jesus' birth, Matthew tells us that the women of Judah cried for their lost children. Today, people of compassionate hearts all around our world are crying for the children lost in Israel and in Gaza. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The prophets whisper and cry to us through their tears. By telling us this story, Matthew depicts Jesus as a refugee, one who came into a world of brokenness and warfare and destruction, a world that is controlled and terrorized by the ways of kingdoms, by the ways of the world, by the conventional ways of earthly politics. Jesus came into this world vulnerable. He came into this world a child, and he was present to our suffering, present to our struggles, present to our sorrows, present to the lamentable condition of this world. He came as Emmanuel, a name which means God with us. God with us in our sufferings. God with the innocents. Jesus joined us, and Jesus is with us still in this world, which is so locked, not in the way of the Lord, but in the ways of kingdoms. The ways of kingdoms say, you attack us, and we attack you. You conquer us, and we will rise up and conquer you. You destroy us, and we will destroy you. This is the way of the world. It is the way of kings. It is the way of kingdoms. And of course, it is not the way of the Lord. God offers us in the story of the Gospel of Matthew, this story in Matthew chapter 2, God offers us this story not to fill us with despair, but to highlight for us the way of the Lord. I believe God gives us this story in Matthew chapter 2 to help emphasize and point us in a better direction, the way of Jesus, the way of peace. Jesus was born into a world shaken by the way of kings and kingdoms. And Jesus came to teach us and to show us and to bring us a better way, the way of the Lord. And so what I have found as hopeful this week in this terrible story in Matthew chapter 2 and its terrible echoes and resonances with our situation in our world, what I have found hopeful with God's help is the way that God has shown us and does show us that Jesus' way breaks the cycle of violence. Jesus' hometown was destroyed by a king and a kingdom. And when Jesus himself became ascendant on the throne of heaven, my friends, did Jesus continue that cycle of violence? Did he say, you destroy me and I will destroy you? Did he say, you slaughter the children of my hometown and so I will destroy your children? Of course not. Of course not. As the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus was and is also the Prince of Peace. And so in his vindication, in his ascent to power, Christ's mission was not one of vindication and destruction of his enemies. His way was a way of forgiveness and grace and mercy and peace. He sent out his disciples not to destroy their enemies, but to pray for them, to love them, to seek reconciliation, to break down the walls and the barriers that stand between us, and to seek to gather people together. Jesus came into this world and he broke the cycles of violence, even though he himself, as a child and as an adult, experienced that violence directed at him. We have a calling to be peacemakers in this world. I have spoken with many of you over the last few months, and we have all expressed a desire to do more. I wish there is something that I could do, right? We live in a representative democracy, which means that our government is supposed to represent us. If you believe that the way of the Lord is a way of peacemaking rather than a way of destruction, then I encourage you to lift up your voices and to reach out to those who represent you in our representative democracy. On Friday, just 2 days ago, the United Nations held a vote on whether or not, as the United Nations, they don't have supreme power, but they held a vote to say, should the war in Gaza end so that humanitarian aid could flow into Gaza and to help the people who are suffering in the face of these bombardments in Gaza? The United Nations held a vote. 121 countries voted yes, end this war, send in humanitarian aid. 14 nations voted against that declaration, including the United States. If you believe that the way of the Lord is a way of peace rather than destruction, I encourage you to make your voices known. Blessed are the peacemakers. Our representative in Congress is Bonnie Watson Coleman. You can go on our website, hit the contact button, and you can just type in a message to your representative. One of our senators is Cory Booker. You can do the same thing on his website. I did it this morning. It was easy. It took about 5 minutes. Jamie wrote them Christmas cards, pictures of our children, saying that as our children will have a blessed and peaceful Christmas this year, so we wish it for all the children of this world. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. My friends, we have a calling. We have a calling. So let us prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen.